there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and today on Take Two, we're talking about, and the phone lines are open, so we are taking calls. We're talking about keeping focused on Advent as the holidays approach. Jerry will be joining us a little bit later, but I need to fill those phone lines now. We have Ace on the phones ready to answer your call. And I'd like to know how you are keeping focused on Advent as we approach the holidays. Very important that we talk about Advent. It's an important season in our church year. By the way, Happy New Year, everyone. This is the beginning of our liturgical year, and it's so important that we enter into it with an intention and a wise decision making during this time, that we don't rush over it, we don't speed past it and go over it, because you know that's the way sometimes Advent is. It's overlooked. We go right to Christmas. So we want to get into Advent with Advent songs, with all sorts of reminders, holy reminders. How about an Advent wreath? How are you keeping focused during Advent? Remember, it is a penitential season with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So this is the beginning of our church year. Very important that we enter into it with a real focused intention, right? And we remember it day after day after day in Advent. It's very important, because the beginning of Advent, everybody's like, oh, we lit the first candle. Oh, it's the candle of hope. Oh, we're so excited. And then we forget about it. And then maybe we pick it back up when we light the rose candle, right? And we get to that point. And then it's right around the corner. There's Christmas. So we really want to talk about being intentional, staying in the moment, slowing down. In Latin, Advent, Aventus means coming or arrival, Aventus. So it's so important that we keep that mindset. I can't stress it enough. I love the season of Advent. It is a season that that's an extreme statement. Most people rush through, not good. We really want to slow it down, absorb it, take it in, see if it can transform us, see if it can get us in that better place to be ready for the coming of Jesus. So please, this is such an important episode. I need you to give us your wisdom, your practices, your lived experiences, how you focus on Advent, how you take on Advent. Please share with the world what you do, because what you do, others will do as well. And that is a way of evangelizing. So here is the number. Ace is ready. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please call us. And the topic is keeping focused on Advent as the holidays approach. Maybe you have some really unique ideas in your family that you do to keep Advent at the center, right? Maybe you do something really wonderful as a family. Could you share that? Could you share with us what exactly you do to make the most out of this penitential season? Okay. So very important work we're doing here today. We're trying to evangelize the world with the topics that we discuss, but I do need your help. And also, maybe you could share, have you started the St. Andrew Christmas Novena? I did yesterday. Marty and I, we started it yesterday. I love that. Maybe you could share something about that. And then you could also share how that has really kept you in the moment day by day, really slowing down and getting excited for the coming of the Lord. Please, this is important. Don't sit this out. Don't think, oh, they're just talking about Advent. I've got nothing to offer. That's not true. Maybe you want to ask questions about Advent. Maybe you want to share some ideas, or maybe you want to look for suggestions on how to make Advent even deeper. Okay, I definitely would suggest deeper prayer, especially an extra rosary, and fasting and almsgiving. Absolutely. Add that to your Advent experience so that everyone can have a blessed Advent. Here's the number, 833-288-EWTN. Light up those phones, guys. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you'd like to ask some questions or you'd like to make some statements, now is the time to do it. We've got Ace on the phones. So I'd love to hear from you. But the topic is keeping focused on Advent as the holidays approach. I did bring the prayer book out because there's some other intentions that were coming in prior to the show that I had coming from friends of mine. So I added them to the prayer book. If you have something you want to add to the prayer book, please let's really go deeper into prayer for Advent. So just give me the first name if you feel comfortable doing that, because we like to pray by name. Very important. But the number four, keeping focused on Advent as the holidays approach. Maybe some of you are like, okay, this is the best way I keep I try to keep the focus. I do not play any type of Christmas music during Advent. Yeah, I think that's great. The only problem is everywhere you go, there's Christmas music playing in the background. Has anyone noticed that yet? Christmas music was playing in October. I cannot believe it. But you know, that kind of gives me an indication that people are really longing for hope. They're really longing for, you know, a desire to get focused and to really make it really does in a strange way. If you look at it, when people are putting up their Christmas lights in October, what does that tell you? It tells me that they want to make the season as long as it possibly can be. That's how I view it. I don't see it as people trying to get their lights up early because, you know, just because they could do it, they had some time on their hands. I really see it as they want to extend the season, which tells me there's a longing in the heart. That's how I look at it. And actually, that could be a really good thing, because if you want people to really, you know, be thinking about Christ longer, well, that's better than, you know, if I would rather see Christmas lights going up early than to see Halloween, all these Halloween decorations still staying up, because I don't think that's that. Anyway, I don't want to get into that because I know some people are into that occasion, but it's just interesting when you can look behind what's the motivation why people do what they do. But let's talk about Advent today. If you have something to say about Advent, please don't wait till the end of the show. I don't want to leave anybody on the line. Ace is answering calls right now. Dial in at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we can talk about Advent. We can talk about the St. Andrew Novena, the Christmas Miracle Novena. We can talk about how you are entering into Advent. We can talk about what it means to you, Advent, the Advent season. Maybe as a child, there were certain things that really stuck out in your mind, in your heart, about when you were raised. It does for me with the Advent wreath. So let's talk about it. Okay, phone lines are lighting up. That's great. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. I'll be right back. Keeping focused on Advent as the holidays approach. That's what we're talking about today. We're going to get to Katrina in just a moment. Katrina, hang on. Don't go anywhere. And the others, you can dial in if you have something to say about Advent. See, and this is my point. I'm really going to say this because I've noticed this every single year. It takes a while for people to fill up the phone lines on Advent, and it shouldn't really be that way. Advent is a very important season in our church year. We really should talk about it more because it prepares us, it gets us ready, it starts to transform us in ways that is so important. But if we don't take that time, if we don't take the weeks, the days to prepare, we're gonna go into Christmas sometimes with, you know, not this change of heart, if you will, or, you know, a change of an outlook or disposition. It's unfortunate. Could we please talk about Advent more? Those of you that are really into Advent, call up and share your experience. I love Advent. I used to teach on it for many, many years in religious education. We used to go around with different religious education directors, and we would pick different things we wanted to focus on. Advent was one of them for me, because it bothers me greatly how we skip over it. It reminds me of the adolescent years of growth. When you see a junior high student or something, sometimes, oftentimes teachers and parents will say, I can't wait till this, this age is over with and they get into high school. It's unfortunate because if you look at the adolescent age, okay, that's where a lot of vocations, the first time they think of vocations, a lot of people don't know that. And so if you rush that, time frame, if you rush that experience, that period of life of growth and change, then you miss out. And that's what happens with Advent. When we step over, when we rush over right into Christmas, we miss out on a great opportunity for the soul to advance. Okay, there's a lot to say about Advent. I could spend hours on it. Like I said, many times they asked me to come into the classroom to teach on it because most people didn't understand it. You know, they put an Advent wreath on the table or on some, you know, counter, and then that was it. They'd light the candles, boom, they're done. They made their way to Christmas. No, it's much more than that. And we really should take the time to slow down and really unpack it together. So if you have something to say about Advent, the season of Advent, and how to keep focused as the holidays approach, please share your wisdom, your experience, your knowledge with us right now. Don't sit this out. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. In 1984, on this day, 1984, December 1st, 1984, Father Gerald Murray was ordained. Wow. This is his anniversary today. Is that amazing? Of his ordination. So if you know him, if you're linked on Facebook, maybe you could just say happy anniversary to him. Wow, it's amazing. Our own Father Gerald Murray. Beautiful. Okay, let's get to the phones. I think I want to make sure we can get to our first caller. Can we get to Katrina? Katrina is driving through Connecticut on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Katrina.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy New Year.
You go right ahead because you want to lead the discussion on Advent, and I'm so glad you're driving. I hope you're driving safely. You're on a hands-free or you're pulled over. But Katrina, you go right ahead. Tell us about your Advent preparation.
So, my name is Katrina. I'm married to my husband, Brian, and together we have six children, ages 2 through 15. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's really important to take the season of Advent, you know, to teach our children, to like transmit the faith to our children. And, you know, our culture that's surrounding our children says presents, gifts, me, 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 hustle, bustle, you know, lots of treats. And like you were saying just minutes ago, that this Advent is like a season like Lent of fasting and preparation for the Christmas feast. And so we do a few things different in our family. Some are more radical than others that I wanted to share this morning with you. One of the things that we do, of course, we always have the Advent camp, you know, Advent wreath on the table with the candles that we light at the dinner time. So that's like a visible sign that the family sees every single day that helps us keep the Advent season first and foremost. But then, like, one of the other things that we do that's like a physical sign for our children is we do put up a Christmas tree. And we do put up some decorations, but the most important one is always the nativity set. But with the Christmas tree, a few years ago, I had this idea to just decorate the Christmas tree in purple and pink for Advent. Right. And then it became a really great, you know, activity for Christmas Eve. Like, it's finally the feast, so let's change the colors of the tree and to gold and white and, like, you know, the feast colors of the church. So that was something, and it was really fun because, you know, we didn't have any money at the time, so we, like, made all these decorations out of yarn and felt, and that's our humble Advent tree, but like, we've never changed it because it seems to fit. But one of the other things that we do leading up to Advent we do this novena, and it's not really a novena in the sense that I feel like as Catholics we think of novenas like, oh, there's a certain set of prayers, a certain set of things I'm going to do. But with the family, with children, starting like the 9 days before Christmas, we have every single evening a short patch with the children, the story of the Nativity. And we talk about it, like, we teach them what it means. And we have some special songs that we sing with the guitar, and they, like, get out their little drums and everything. And even the older ones, so now the older ones are helping to teach the younger ones. We've been doing this for, I would say, 5 or 6 years mm-hmm. now. And that's how we spend our evenings, leading straight up into Christmas.
Wow.
Instead of going out and doing things, doing other things, that's what we do. And we have a small church community, and sometimes we'll, like, go do this novena together with them at somebody else's house, or we'll host at our house, and then we always have, like, you know, treats afterwards, like Christmas treats, you know, like hot chocolate, cookies, whatever, mm-hmm. after the novena, just to, like, you know, partially to bribe the really small children to listen, because mm-hmm. it's hard for them to sit and listen, but right. Also to just, like, celebrate that this, you know, like, the anticipate this coming of mm-hmm. baby mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
The last thing that I want to share that has most radically transformed our family, and this was not, I want to just stress that this was not something that we decided to do lightly or that it happened overnight. This took us 5 or 6 years to put into place, but I think last year was the first year we fully, like, we got to this point of choosing to put off any of the gift giving of Christmas to the Three Kings Day feast, because that's mm-hmm. when Jesus got his presents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this was hard because we have older children that were young at the time that this was a tradition that we learned about from some other people in our parish that were doing it. We were like, that's crazy. Why would you take the Christmas, like, why, like, that would steal all the joy of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But we found, like, we had to do it very slowly and prepare our kids slowly over time, but By putting the gift giving off, it helped me personally, but, like, also our family. Like, in the leading up to Christmas, you lose that hustle and bustle of worrying. Like, we have 6 kids. It is hard to, like, stock stuffings or do stocking stuffers for
right.
6 kids and, like, have presents for 6 kids. Like, it's really, as a mother, it's super distracting. Like, when I was doing that, I didn't think at all about the feast that was coming and to prepare, like, for mm-hmm. the spiritual feast of Christmas. It was all about the material, you know, gift giving and preparing of the meals and like having all the stuff ready and mm-hmm. no mental space for me to, like, prepare, you know, my soul for the Christmas feast. And
yeah.
That's something that, like, it's very hard to do. And our children still don't fully understand it. And sometimes they don't like that we do this, but then, you know, then the Feast of the Three Kings comes, and then they're, you know, of course they're happy for that, but it's something that helps quiet our family in preparation for Christmas, and to keep Advent, you know, to keep the season of Advent, I think, mm-hmm. more set apart from the rest of the year, and from the Feast of Christmas, right? The several,
right.
you know, week-long Feast of Christmas.
Right, right. Well, I have to tell you, Katrina, boy, did you come up with some creative ways to keep Advent front and center. And I love that. I have to tell you that I used to do that. What you said, when my children were small, I used to put up an artificial tree, and I would have ribbons of the colors of an Advent wreath. So I had purple, and I had rose colored or pink colored. And I would do that exactly. I love that idea. I think it's brilliant. And I think it because it does. It doesn't fully take away, you know, certain elements of Christmas, but it enhances the journey. And I love that. So I think it's brilliant. I must ask you, you have 6 children, ages 2 to 15. Do you homeschool them? Because you sound like a teacher.
So my husband and I live a little differently. He homeschools them. We did send them to school last year for the first time, which was good. We needed them to get caught up on certain things. Because homeschooling mm-hmm. is hard, and you get behind really easy. But yes, so we've homeschooled them up until that point, and then this year we're homeschooling all of them, except the high schooler, the 15-year-old.
Right.
So,
wow.
But
wow.
I don't do it. My husband does it because I work.
Okay. Gotcha. Very nice. What an interesting arrangement you have. I love it. I love you. I just love the creativity. I love the precision of it. You really are focused on the details. I love that. That's another thing that I think we forget. You know, we rush through the seasons. We remember certain things. We have them like an Advent wreath, but we don't really get into the details, like what each candle means. You know, the word that we're supposed to be focused on. You know, this week it's hope, right? So we're supposed to have that kind of permeating through our daily lives. And so there's all these ways to practice it. And like you said, you know, this being a penitential season too, just like Lent, only a little different though, but it's still focused on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I love everything you had to say, Katrina. I think it's awesome. Your kids are very blessed to have you and your husband. 6 kids. You know, I don't know how often you listen to the show. I happen to love that number for a family because I'm 1 of 6. So I was the baby. So I choose the youngest one, the 2-year-old. That must be one of your favorites, right, Katrina?
Well, I can't officially say that, but
I know. No parent can. I understand, but we feel that way, being the youngest of a big family. I love it, though. Katrina, you are awesome. Thank you so much for starting this conversation. Boy, did you really get people going. And so they've got comments as well, good ones as well, just like you. Yeah, no, really. I hope you continue to listen. Thank you so much, and drive safely through Connecticut, and God bless you, and have a beautiful, beautiful Advent. Wow, that was great from Katrina. Thank you. That was great from Katrina calling in. Then she was driving through Connecticut, so she made the decision to stop and participate and get this conversation rolling. So we're so grateful to Katrina. So if you'd like to share something about Advent, if you have a creative way to keep Advent at the center of our minds and our hearts and our souls so that we can all be transformed during this beautiful season in our church year, please, we want to keep focused on Advent. We want to slow down. We want to make sure we take it all in. We absorb it like sponges. If you have something to say, please dial in. We're going to get to Pamela next, but here's the number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And maybe you want to make a public, informal confession here, saying that that you don't really practice Advent well, and decided today that you're going to change all that. Maybe you want to share that. That's great, because that gives others the motivation to do the exact same thing. We just started Advent, guys. It just started yesterday. So you have plenty of time to dive deep, and that's what we're trying to do here today on Take Two. So please call in. Pamela is up next from Fresno, California on Sirius XM 130. I want to say hello to you, Pamela, but you may need to stay with me through the break. So welcome to Take Two.
Well, hello there, Debbie. I just want to say thank you for your program.
I recently was on a business trip to Japan,
mm-hmm. and I came home with such a heavy heart because those people do not know what Christmas really means. Every department store you go into, there's beautiful decorations, beautiful scenes in the hotels, absolutely beautiful Christmas things. Mm-hmm. But not a single Christmas card with the baby Jesus.
Not a
single nativity anywhere. And I walked into the courtyard of one Shinto shrine, and this woman was standing ahead of me, probably 20 feet, ringing the bell, you know. And I got closer to her, and she was weeping, ringing the bell. She wanted God's attention. There was no God for her.
Oh, that breaks my heart. Ooh. Oh, but well, okay. So Pamela, hold on a second. You're going to hear the music in about 10 seconds. Please stay with us. Jerry will be back with us on this portion of the episode, but this is very important what you're talking about, because this is what I was trying to share earlier, how people are longing. They're longing for God and they don't even realize it. And we can dress it up with all the artificial stuff on the exterior and what we see, but really it's in our hearts and it's in our souls. So let's talk about it, Pamela. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. Please, if you'd like to join the conversation, this is very important. 833-288-3986. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi there. Welcome, Jerry Usher Sutherland here with Debbie Georgiani on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio, talking about the season of Advent, which is underway, and how you plan to prepare your heart for the coming of our Lord as we celebrate it each year, of course, at Christmas. Jesus comes to us in many ways, but of course, the Christmas time is one of those key moments and periods that we celebrate his coming, his first coming, and we look forward to his second coming. So share with us any thoughts, plans, ideas, suggestions for all of us, how we can better prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ at Christmas. Keeping focused on that versus all of the other things. We can take part in many other things during Advent, but we want to make sure that our hearts are really truly focused on what really matters. So get on board. Share your thoughts on this today. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986.
And we're speaking with Pamela in Fresno, California. And Pamela was sharing that she got back from Japan. And Pamela, let me have you rewind a little bit for Jerry and just share again what you experienced with seeing all the decorations, but with the absence of Jesus.
Okay. Well, as I was talking about it, you know, we flew into Japan on business and we got off the plane and there's Christmas trees and all the decorations, even at the airport. And you get into the hotel and there's gorgeous Christmas displays of everything. And beautiful lights, beautiful trees, beautiful street decorations. And when you go into the department stores, there's gorgeous Christmas cards, lots of them. But the one thing I noticed, there's not one single Jesus, baby Jesus, on any Christmas card. There's no nativity. There's no scripture. There's nothing about Jesus. Nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no nativities outside in the displays anywhere. And I was just kind of stunned because it just surprised me so much that there was no Jesus there. And then we were on a tour into some of the historic areas, and we went into this Shinto temple yard, and about 20 feet in front of me, there was a woman just ringing a bell and ringing a bell and ringing a bell. And someone said, well, she's trying to, you know, talk to God or something. I don't know. And I got closer to her, and she's weeping. She's brokenhearted. She's weeping. There is no God answering for her. There's nothing.
Hmm. Yeah, wow.
Well, and I stood there and I just prayed for her. I just started praying the rosary. I didn't know what to pray. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming back to the States. And I came back last week. And here's our Christmas. And we have Jesus. We have the baby Jesus. We have the family of God. And yesterday morning, I turned on EWTN and I watched the Mass, and the priest was saying, what is your fear? What is your fear? Talk to the Lord, you know? And I was just so moved that we can have a real living faith. Mm-hmm. And it's because of Jesus. And I went to Mass later, and the pastor said the same thing again. What is your fear? And he gave us a devotional for the book of for the month of December. And the first chapter was facing your fear in the hand of God and trusting in him. I was so thankful, just so thankful for the scriptures, for the prayers, for the people of God. And I just prayed for the people of Japan.
Pamela, yeah, I just thank you for reiterating what you had said prior to the break there, because I just came out of Mass at the seminary here, actually, and joined the broadcast. And I just want to say, first of all, thank you for your heart. I mean, to hear your emotion, overflowing within you because of this lack of attention or, the details of Jesus, being absent amidst all the trappings of the season, that just really shows what a beautiful, loving heart you have for our Lord. And I want to say too that this gives us an opportunity. We even in our country here in the United States and in other supposedly Christian countries, we still have a long way to go before we're recognizing Jesus at this time of year like maybe we once did. And so you've given us a really good reminder, Pamela, that we can be in prayer for our own nation, but also countries like Japan. Historically, it's had a very low Christian population, so we understand that. But hopefully, we can pray. We can pray that Christianity would spread far and wide everywhere. We need to pray for our missionaries, those who are taking Christ into the world, into places where he's either not been known or has been eliminated, or they've tried to eliminate, any forms of Christianity. So I just love your heart, Pamela. Thank you for sharing that with us on the air. Deb?
I feel the same way, Pamela, but I loved how you picked up the rosary and you thought to pray the rosary, and that's what we need more of, because obviously we need to do more work out there spreading the gospel message. And so I agree with Jerry. We were just getting the statistics on the population of Christians in Japan, and it's very, very low, like Jerry said, and it's so important that we have a lot of work to do. As Christians, we know the Lord. We have a relationship with the Lord. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. It's our privilege. It's our honor to share the Lord with others, but to pray for others. And you did just that, Pamela. I agree with Jerry. You have a beautiful heart. And I know it hurts you, but in a way, it should remind all of us how precious this relationship is. I mean, we should be so grateful, like you are, and just saying thank you, Lord, that we have the gift of faith. Others have not experienced that yet, so it's our job is there to help them. But the prayer works; it does work. We know that. But again, it'll fill our hearts with gratitude, and that's a perfect thing to do during Advent, Pamela. So you kind of nailed it, because we're trying to keep focused on Advent, and that's another way to get the most out of this church season. So anything else you wanted to share, Pamela? We just wanted you to know that I think we've captured your come from on this, and we feel the same way.
Thank you. Thank you so much for just listening to my little story this morning, and God bless you and all that you do.
Well, you blessed all of us in the Take Two family, Pamela, so thank you. Appreciate you listening there in Fresno on Sirius XM Channel 130. And have a blessed Advent, you and yours, and a great preparation to the celebration of Christmas. Thank you, Pamela. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, your planned practices for keeping, as much focus as you can on Advent as we head toward the Christmas season. We live in a, like I mentioned a minute ago, a supposedly one-time very Christian nation in the U.S. that has, kind of dissipated somewhat, but we can do our part to inject or re-inject that into the culture, into our societies, and that starts in our own lives and in our families. So what are your plans for Advent to keep focused on what we're really all about during this season? 833-288-3986.
Okay, we would like to hear from you. I know that we are, some have asked about emails. You can always email us if you have a longer story about Advent or some ideas. If you've got some really cool creative ideas like Katrina had, our first caller, we'll happily post those on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. So you can find us there, Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. But you can always email us take2@ewtn.com.
Okay, let's go to Chicago. Emil is listening also on Sirius XM 130. Emil, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for calling in today. Welcome.
You want me to share something?
Yes, please. You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, okay. You see, a few minutes back, I was just writing something about how to welcome the Advent season, and I wrote something on the Facebook, but I turned on the radio, and I had a chance to listen to ETWN, and I heard a lady, Pamela, who was sharing something about Japan, that there is no sign of nativity and no picture of baby Jesus to be seen. And there were a lot of decorations and everything. What comes to my mind is, the first thing that comes to my mind is, that 2 days before this Sunday, we had Thanksgiving Day, you know. And at one place, you know, I had a chance to share something about Thanksgiving. And historically, I looked back and I realized that when the pilgrims came to the United States, you know, they had a lot of difficulties, a lot of suffering, a lot of difficult situations to face, you know. But God helped them and they succeeded, you know. And they thanked God by having a harvest feast. And also, you know, they promised to themselves that coming to United States as Puritans and as pilgrims, you know, they have to live so that, you know, they can turn a society into be a moral society, you know, where there are values and there are Christian values for people to see, you know. And as such, today, as we are looking at the Advent season, we are welcoming the Advent season. And the first thing that comes to our mind is hope, you know. And I would like to read for you from book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and praise as you trust in him. Mm. My dear brothers and sisters, you know, if you look back and see, look at the United States of America 15 years from now, or 100 years from now, you know, this country was so different. People loved the Lord. The churches were full of people. The families were enjoyed staying together, worshiping together, praying together. This place was entirely different. And I, being a Christian from Pakistan, I am a product of those American missionaries who went from the United States to that part of India. At that time, it was British India. You know. And they set up schools and colleges. And in one of these schools, I studied, and I also studied in one of the college that was built by Dr. Carl Foreman, who went from here. What I mean to say is that today's America is entirely different. The churches are vacant, the pews are vacant, the churches are empty, the younger generation has lost interest, you know. As mm-hmm. such, I think we are carried away by our prosperity and our freedom. And we have become very self-centered, self-focused, and we have lost the focus on faith and on God, you know. As such, we are obligated, all of us today living in the United States as Christian believers, we are obligated. We are obligated to live lives as such that we are seen to carry the Christian values, you know, so that people can see that in the United States, people are not just they're living as if they have lost their faith, but they are living trusting in God and trusting the God of hope, because that's what really matters to us. Mm-hmm. As believers, we have obligation to live a Christ-like life, you know. Otherwise, what is there for us, you know? So when I was in college, there was one thing that I learned, that we can preach a better message with our lives than with our lips, you know. So whatever we may say with our lips, you know, but the lives that impact are lives that have to be lived, you know. So we must live a life of Christian value, you know, and that's what I believe. That we are obligated to live as such, because today's culture is taking our generations away, you know. Younger children have lost interest in faith, you know. So I think we are obligated to turn ourselves and be hopeful that we have to play our part.
Well, Emil, you are very articulate, first of all. So thank you for sharing and zeroing in on hope and reading that passage from St. Paul's letter to the Romans about hope. You know, we're still in this Jubilee year of hope, and we are really a people of hope, if nothing else. And I think you're right. We have to lead by our own personal example. And I'm reminded of a conversation I had with a friend recently who actually is very has a strong faith, knows the faith, but isn't really practicing like going to Mass. And he was lamenting how his son has lost his faith and become an agnostic. My first thought was, well, you know, what are you doing to lead by example? You know, you really need to be going to Mass yourself and practicing what you preach and what you believe. And then that can have an impact on his son. So I think we all have to take your encouragement, Emil, and be the leaders of what we believe, put that into practice. And you know what they say, you know, it's not always, like you said, it's not always the words that we use, but it's the actions that we perform in our daily lives that's going to really make a difference.
Yeah, the actions. Absolutely. That's what I picked up on. Emil, you're amazing. I again, all of the callers today, you guys have such big hearts. It's so obvious how much you love the Lord, how much you want to share the Lord, how much you've taken on this evangelization that's part of our baptismal call. Emil, thank you so much for stepping up and being bold and brave and courageous in a world that actually, you know, tells us to be quiet, right? And then you're stepping up and you're stepping up in a big way. So, Emil, thank you so much, sir.
If you give me a minute, I have something else to share, too.
Okay. Sure, real quick. Go ahead.
Yeah. You see, in today's world, you are there to make a comparison. There's a news about Africa, especially about Nigeria, where there is genocide. There's genocide in Congo and other African countries. And those people in Africa, in their poverty, they are standing up for their faith. Many are losing their lives, you know. Many mm-hmm. churches are burned. Young, beautiful girls are being picked up, killed, and raped, you know. But they are holding their faith here. But in the United States of America and in Europe, if you go to Europe, you know, for instance, you go to France, Germany, and England, you realize that, you know, there's a lot of prosperity to be seen. But faith is lost, and with immigration, you know, you have a lot of pain. Going over to London or Paris or Munich or Frankfurt are these places, you know, because they're not the same. They're not the same, you know. The churches are, many of them up for sale, many of them without anybody inside. And if people are there, just people of old age group, you know, no younger people are there. And similar kind of picture is emerging in the United States. And I'm pained to hear all this, see all this, you know. We have an obligation. We have a role to play. As such, I think it's something of a great concern. We have a role to play. And I think our eyes need to open and we need to wake up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, not just this time of year, but all year round. True. Jesus should be number one in our hearts, and we should, our lives should really reflect that. And if they're not, we need to kind of do an inventory. And this season of Advent, Debbie, is really a good time of year for us to do that personal inventory and just make sure that our lives are matching what we believe and what we want other people to believe, especially those who are closest to us, our loved ones, family members, friends, relatives, coworkers. We are called, we're going to be answerable to God for a lot of things, but one of those is going to be, how well did we live out the faith that He gave us as a great mm-hmm. gift? It's a great gift. A faith is a great gift from God. We need to cherish that, practice our faith, spend time in prayer, and be the examples that He is calling us to be.
Yeah, and as you just said, you just took the words out of my mouth. I just wanted to say again, please, we've got to cherish this gift of faith. It's so precious. It's so amazing. Emil, thank you so much again. Just your incredible soul you are to step up on this Advent broadcast. We really, really appreciate it. And God bless you, sir. We hope you have just an incredible season of Advent and where you are enriched in many ways and with abundant blessings. Thank you so much, Emil.
Yeah, I want to mention, too, coming up on Open Line Monday this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Father John Trigilio. So if you have any questions, concerns, curiosity about what the Catholic Church teaches and believes and practices, especially as we enter special seasons like Advent, such as this, you can get your questions answered every day on Open Line. And Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern, it's Father John Trigilio right here on most of these EWTN stations. Okay, let's get to John. John is listening in Virginia, also on Sirius XM 130. Hello, John. Welcome to our Advent conversation. How are you?
I'm okay. Hello. Hello.
Yep, you're on the air, John. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Jerry and Debbie. It's such honor to be on your show. Oh, I was just calling in to put out some really good information that I've had for many a year. Have you ever heard of Dom Geringer's Liturgical Year, 15-volume set? It was printed.
Go ahead.
It's still in print. But anyway, he's a wonderful writer, and he has printed a whole book on Advent. But as you come into the book, he has the history of Advent, the mystery of Advent, the two different sections, and the practice of Advent. And there is so much material there. It's just marvelous. And every year I pull that out. It's just such a gem. And he does that for the seasons. It does follow the old calendar because it's an older book that came out, I guess, the early 19th century. But it's still in reprint, and it's even online in some places. But it's the most magnificent set of books for the liturgical year. It just captured me, and that was back in the 70s when I heard about it coming back into print. And it's just a treasure. It's a true treasure, and I just wanted to put that out there for people. It probably is more expensive now to buy, but you know, I can't say enough about the 15-volume set. And if you look into it, you'll find out exactly what I'm saying. I love his writings, and I believe he's going to be a saint one day, and that's the truth.
Wow, I have never heard of it. Have you heard of it, Jerry?
I had heard of it, but I wasn't personally familiar with it, so I just looked it up online here, and it is, as he is indicating, a 15-volume set. It kind of came out of the setting was sort of 19th century France, and of course they came out of the French Revolution and all of the turmoil and everything, so... but it looks like it's quite a comprehensive 15-volume set on the liturgical year. You certainly can't go wrong with a resource like that.
I like how he broke it up with history and mystery and practice. I love that. It sounds like it's a very mystical journey. Is it, John?
Well, there's so much info on both all these sections, like the history. And he does the history. Then he has the following next book is Christmas, just a book on Christmas. Mm-hmm. And he goes back to the very beginning, and he talks about the history of Christmas, the mystery of Christmas, and the practice of Christmas.
Wow.
And what he does is he teaches you how to come into prayer and how to do things during the season that are beneficial for our spiritual growth. Every time I read the Christmas part, and even the part on Easter when he goes to he has a book just on the Passion itself, it brings me to tears because it's so wonderful, his writing.
Wow. You know, again, John, it's so obvious the callers that have stepped up today, you know, Katrina and Pamela and Emil, and now you, John, who's closing this broadcast. You guys all have deep, deep hearts, and you want to go into that next level of understanding and relationship with God. God bless you, John. I think it's awesome that you would you would get a 15-volume set to go deep into the liturgical seasons. That's brilliant, and I think it has a lot of merit, a lot of merit on this side of the veil and for all of eternity, John, when people do that, when people go that deep with the Lord. Way to go, John.
Yeah, the last name of the author is Geringer, as he, John mentioned it might be pronounced slightly differently if it's French, Guerangere. He was a Dominican, and so Dom Geringer, the liturgical year, the 15-volume set.
Wow.
So thank you, John,
thank
for that
you, John.
Information. We appreciate that. I don't know that we have time for any other calls, but I
we don't. But I'd like to hear. We need an update because you took a lot of prayers for us, Mister. So how did it go?
Well, yeah, I got back yesterday afternoon from the Oratory of Saint Joseph in Montreal, and was there each and every day. It was absolutely spectacular. What a blessed experience! I took I took all of the Take Two family's prayer intentions. The show team, you and Marty, and everybody took your prayer intentions there, including the ones that were emailed to me, which were really several hundred prayer requests. I had the great honor and blessing of serving Mass on the altar at the Oratory 2 days, two different Masses, and reading the first reading at those Masses as well. So I want to thank Father John Ling and the Holy Cross brothers and priests there at the Oratory. And what else?
Did you tell them about the show?
I did, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, I met Lucia, if you're listening, one of our listeners, Take Two family members who lives in Montreal, came to the oratory, and we had a chance to greet each other real quickly there. So that was wonderful. And I prayed at the tomb of St. Andre Bessette. So it was a very much a worthwhile trip. I would make it again. In fact, Debbie, I kind of promised the folks at the oratory that I would be back, but hopefully we would be back because, good Lord willing, one day, if God willing, I get ordained, then we can maybe resume those pilgrimages that we used to take. And that's a place I would love for us to take a group of people. It would be fantastic.
Well, you know that's on my bucket list because my uncle, my late uncle, Father Sylvester Lavolsi, taught in Montreal for years there.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list.
Wow.
So let's do it. There you go. All right. Let's start planning it now, a couple years ahead of time, but we can always do that. Good. Nothing wrong with planning, right?
No.
So it was beautiful. It was spiritual. It was successful by way of you getting the prayers. Hopefully God heard all of those prayers.
Well, I know he did. Yeah, I definitely felt the presence of St. Joseph and St. Andre and so many of the great saints there. So, folks, anybody, if you have a chance to go to the Oratory of St. Joseph in Montreal, please make that trip there. It was one thing. It was a little bit of a blessing being this time of year. They don't have quite as many people there, obviously, in the summer. It's just jam-packed, but it was easy access, easy parking, and getting in there and spending a lot of time in prayer. So that was
beautiful.
So Take Two family, you have been prayed for at all of the masses and my prayers at the oratory these past several days.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate it. Okay, tomorrow's topic, what does it mean to you when our priests and religious wear their clerics and habits? Mm-hmm. We want to know when you see that, what does it mean to you? We need you to weigh in on it, right, Jerry?
We do. Thanks to our show team today, Ace, Michael, and Vanessa. Thank you, Take Two family. As always, we're underway in Advent, folks. Brothers and sisters, let's make it a blessed season of the year, focusing as much as we possibly can on Jesus and his coming at Christmas. So until tomorrow, we will wish you a beautiful and blessed day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.